Welcome to MCBI's 60 Mark, a podcast for curious thinkers.
All right, well, welcome everybody. It's Marina from MCBI. And I welcome you to the 60 Mark podcast series for curious thinkers. I am very lucky to have Jason Taylor joining us here for 10 to 12 minutes. And I'm going to get to know a bit more about this actually very impressive client of ours. And I'm not just saying that because we're on the air. We talk about what an amazing job that you do. So welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome. Hello. Now, your current title, you're the General Manager of Business Services for Sage Automation.
Correct.
Which seems like it's a great title, but it doesn't really capture the full breadth of what you do. Your title is probably General Manager of everything else that keeps the place running.
Yeah, that's right. I used to be more from the technology side and looking after our IT systems, but as the GFC hit and things got a bit more levelled out and had to trim some overheads, then I was given some extra responsibilities and must have done a good enough job that it wasn't taken away from me. So I now look after all the HR and our work health and safety and quality and environmental management systems, risk management, as well as the IT portfolio as well.
Wow. What a great opportunity to have come out of the GFC.
Yeah, definitely been a huge learning curve, particularly the HR area.
Yeah, it is a huge area. Well, here we are. We'll have a meeting later on, a proper meeting. But right now, I'm really interested to figure out how on earth you got here down the basement of down at Featherstone Place. Can you share with us a little bit about your career journey and how you managed to find yourself here?
Yeah, sure. So I actually started my life off as an electrician. Electrical fitter working at Bridgestones at Edwardstown, which has just closed down a few months ago and is being converted into a Bunnings. So I started there as an electrical fitter back in 1990, and it was much more of an industrial setting there. So when you think about electrician, it was actually a lot more around the process control systems that drove the manufacturing. And I was very lucky enough to work under this really smart Polish guy who knew a lot about computers and programmable controllers and all the process control side, and sort of taught me a lot about software and development, and really inspired me to get involved in that. I just had found that I had a real passion for it and started doing my own study and staying up late at night, just mucking around on computers and programming and that sort of thing. When I was in my third year of an apprenticeship, so Andrew Downs, who is the founder of Sage Automation, he asked me if I wanted to do some part-time work at his place after hours, because he was starting up a business, which is now known as Sage. Mm-hmm. And so I'd knock off at Bridgestones and I'd go straight to his house and work. And at that time, he was renovating the house and it was doing work inside his kitchen, working on control panels. And then in 1994, when my apprenticeship came up, I left Bridgestones and worked for Andrew full time. And at that part, we'd upgraded to the back shed. So we'd build a shed out the back of his house.
That's fancy.
It was fancy. At an office and a workshop area, and was quite comfortable. And so I started working there full time for Andrew, putting all the control panels together. But I just definitely had the passion more for the software side. So more and more I was doing the programming for all the systems that we're installing, and my passion really grew from there. So I just got more and more involved in the technology and software, and did a lot more study myself at home. So I've mostly self-taught in everything that I've done. And Sage started to grow, and at one point I sort of moved full-time into the programming side of the business and was developing all of our PLC and SCADA systems. And that grew over the years, and I got more and more involved in different systems around actually optimizing manufacturing processes, so collecting a lot of data and developing analytics and reporting systems. And that sort of got me involved more in the IT space. And then in the sort of early 2000s, Andrew asked me to actually move from a customer-facing role into an internal role and start to develop all of our internal IT systems. And then did that for several years, and then eventually was handed the other parts that I talked about earlier.
That must have been a big change from, you know, taking direction from a client or this is what they want, to you actually being in charge of creating the vision or influencing, you know, what the internal systems needed to look like. How did you handle that?
Well, I've always had that system focus with our customers anyway, and I think it was a great benefit to be working closely with our customers because I really understood what they needed. Mm. And so Sage has been a very customer-centric culture from day one, and I was able to take that internally and actually use that to drive some of our internal systems with a focus on the customer outcomes and not just always sort of thinking internally what's best for Sage, but actually what is best for our customers as well.
Mm. You must have seen, because I believe you were Sage's first full-time employee. Is that the claim to fame?
Well, that is my claim to fame. And I was I was full-time actually before Andrew Downs himself was full-time in the business, only by a couple of months. But yeah. He was still working at Bridgestone for the first few months of my employment at Sage.
That's fantastic. You must have seen huge change over that period from working out in the back shed right through to now being, over an $80 million turnover company, global presence and growing, a really strong growth trajectory as well.
Oh, absolutely. It's been a fantastic journey for me. And when I look at it, so I've only ever had two employers, but I feel like I've had several jobs. So through that journey and expanding interstate and expanding into different industries and growing our customer base and having to employ lots and lots of people to now being over 300 people, we've got offices all around Australia, work across several different industries. We have office in India as well. We've done some work internationally. I'll be fortunate enough to travel to some places around the world as part of that. So it's been an amazing journey. So I feel like I've had many jobs along the way and learnt so much. I was a director of the company for a period of time, involved in a lot of the strategy development. So it's been an amazing learning experience for me.
That's a fan. It is a fantastic story. I mean, Sage, and also yours, I know as our client that we get to work with, it's always impressed us with how global your views are. It's been, it's great to work with you from that perspective.
Yeah, and Andrew Downs and Adrian Fay, the CEO, really drive that. They're entrepreneurs and they're always looking for the next big thing. And so we're never complacent just being happy with what we're doing. We always know that things can change dramatically and we've always got to be looking for the next big thing. Sometimes we could argue that we're too diverse, but we find that things like the slowdown in the economy and the GFC that occurred, a lot of people within our industry went backwards a fair way, whereas we maintained our level. And a lot of that's to do with that diversity because we were able to buffer downturns in one industry with some that were a little bit more buoyant even during those times.
And that's
times.
A great business strategist or visionary, which leads us to the power of teamwork. I mean, that's something that we get to work together as a team, but I would love to better understand your views around teamwork and what makes a great team.
Yeah, well, that's something that's been very core to Sage from the beginning. So there's always been a lot of camaraderie within the team. So we're always looking out for each other and there's always been a high level of trust. And I remember Andrew himself, he would never leave the job until it was finished and everyone would leave. And he'd make sure that everyone was fed, and sometimes we had to do some serious hours. But it was that culture that we all stuck together and we all stayed until the end of the job and helped each other out. No one was left alone. And that developed a really high sense of trust with everyone. And we knew that when the times got tough, that we had people to help us out. I've personally flown on a Sunday morning to interstate because we needed help and worked till all hours of the night to get things up and running for a production start on Monday morning. And that's just, you don't really think twice about it. That's just always what we've done.
It's like the embodiment of the Australian idea of mateship. You just won't let each other down.
Yeah, yeah, correct.
Yeah.
And it can be hard to maintain that culture as you grow to the size that we are today, but we feel like we've still got really strong teams within the business. Mm. And with that diversity and being geographically separated too, it presents those challenges around, well, how do you share knowledge across the company when you're doing so many different things? How do you find the people that you need to bring on your team to provide the right expertise and having those people available? And how do you collaborate and communicate as a team? And that's been definitely one of the challenges as we've grown.
And how do you have any tips for people who maybe are looking at growing or trying to preserve their culture?
Yeah, well, it's about knowing who to connect with and making sure that as a business you're keeping people in touch with each other and sort of knowing who's who in different parts of the country. And that does come down to that teamwork and how you actually formulate those teams. So when you're thinking about doing a project or targeting a new industry, looking right across the business, not who's just locally within your team, but right across the business is where you could get expertise and where we might have done something before that we can then reuse that knowledge on a future job.
That's a hard challenge, isn't it, when the company's growing like and the success that you guys have had. Yeah. Looking at innovation, you know, you're talking about chasing the next big thing, do you see great teamwork playing a role about making innovation come to life?
Yeah, definitely, and there's always that balance as a business as you grow and you we're always very innovative in our early days of Sage, and as we've grown and taken on bigger projects, you have to get a little bit more sophisticated and a bit more formal about the way that you run those projects, and it's making sure that you're delivering to budgets and things that you're setting up in the project in the beginning and selling to your customers. And making sure that that doesn't stifle innovation too much. It's not just purely focused on about meeting those budgets, but actually you're including elements of innovation within that. And that's a balance I think we've tried to find. Mm. And as a growing company, you need to make sure you're investing back in research and development, and we do a lot of that. And we're always part of that entrepreneurship of the leaders of the business is looking out for what are the next big industries and technologies and how do we get a foot in the door at the early stages of that so we can build that rapport with customers within that industry so as it does grow that we're actually a known player in that field and people trust and respect what we do.
Yeah, I think some of the leaders that you have there are exceptional visionaries and, you know, certainly push the company and the people forward. So let's, I'd be interested a bit about yourself. And we often ask people a moment in their career that really changed them, for good and bad, but something that may have happened that set you on a new direction. Is there something you can share with us?
Yeah, sure. I'd have to look back and say there was a time in sort of Sage's evolution where we were growing to a size business that we needed to think a lot more about structure and governance and processes and systems. And we brought in a person by the name of Bill Anschutz, who became a real mentor to the business. And a mentor to a lot of us personally, and so I spent a lot of time with Bill, and he'd invite me over to his house, and we'd have great conversations about business, and he was the sort of person that always had a wealth of knowledge. He was still working with Sage in his early 70s, and he still read books every week. He would be talking about a book that he's read and a new bit of knowledge, and so he was a true lifelong learner, and never thought that he knew everything. But he did have an amazing amount of knowledge and knew what to say at the right times. And so he was a great mentor to a lot of us and to me personally.
He's so the boardroom's named after this man as well.
Yeah,
isn't he?
Correct. Yeah. Bill passed on a few years ago, a number of years ago now, which was very sad. But we remembered him by as we moved into our new Tonsley facility, as we named the boardroom after him.
Yeah, which is very touching, and it's also a lovely reminder of how lessons from other generations can be passed down, and that lifelong learning spirit doesn't matter what age, what generation you're from.
Oh, absolutely, and I was still meeting with him right up until he passed, and his mind was always sharp. It's just his body wouldn't keep up with his mind, and even visiting him and him lying in bed, he'd still have that wisdom and know what to say. His mind was still as sharp as anything.
It's amazing. It's a privilege to have people like that cross your path.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fantastic. All right, well, as we're about to leave, do you have a couple of bits of advice for people out there who are looking to improve their career or their professional experience?
Yeah, I do. And one of those is, I think, really to discover what your strengths are. And this is something that I learned particularly from Andrew Downs, that he knew what he was good at and he knew what he was not good at. And we can spend a lot of time talking about what our weaknesses are and where we need to improve. Oh, we need to do this better and that better. And probably not as much time focusing on what our real strengths are and saying, well, these are my strengths and how can I really leverage those in a business sense? And maybe I'm just never going to be good at those other things. So why spend all that effort trying to improve and ignore the strengths that I do have? And Andrew was great at that because he knew he was great at being the entrepreneur and driving the business and the customer relationships and networking, and knew that he needed to put people in the business to run the day-to-day operations, that something that he that was not one of his strengths.
That's a very important insight, isn't it? Like just knowing your strengths and then being able to find people to compensate for maybe your areas of weakness.
Yeah. And the other bit of advice I'd have is what I learned from Bill is be a lifelong learner. Never think that you know everything and just constantly read books and challenge yourself and look for new ideas because you never know what you'll find. And when you find those little gold nuggets that can change your thinking about something or bring that new great idea, you only get that when you're invested in your own learning.
Yeah, that is a real theme through these podcasts. The people are very successful and there's this real sense of lifelong learning and a humility as well as constant, no, I don't know it. I don't know everything yet on it. Well, thank you very much, Jason, for taking some time out and talking to us and sharing your experiences. Very much appreciated. But you're not off the hook just yet. Four quick questions as we leave. Favourite food?
Steak.
Steak.
And chips.
And chips.
I'm a simple man. No gravy, plain.
Just plain.
Salt and pepper.
Okay. First pet?
Was a tabby cat.
Oh, name?
Sally.
Sally the tabby cat. That's great. First car?
First car was a green LH Tirana that I inherited from my parents.
Was that on the stick on the side or the steering wheel?
No, mine was a bit later model than that. So I had
a brown one.
Did you?
A real ugly one, yeah. And your favourite all-time movie?
Oh, that's a hard one. I'm not one to watch movies over and over again. Maybe something like Dumb and Dumber.
That is a great...
It's a classic.
It's a classic. Oh, I'm glad you said that, not something like Apocalypse Now or something. Yeah, I like Dumb and Dumber. I still love that scene where they freeze their tongue. On that note, thank you very much. Thank you very much. And we might interview again at some point in the future. Thank you.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening in today. We look forward to you joining us next time.